John 1, 17. Okay, so he begins here in 1. He says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son. Now notice what he says here, because you have to read these words by the Holy Ghost, which didn't say came from the bosom of the Father. He's in the bosom of the Father. Present tense. You see that? It's kind of our first introduction. The Son of God. And he says, the only begotten, no man seen God any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. He's in, say in. That's the first time he mentions that position. We'll move on down to chapter 8, and he says this of chapter 17. Jesus in his prayer says, Father, as you sent me, so I send them. And so there's only two ways to be sent. He was either sent into the womb of Mary, or he was sent at the River Jordan. There was no other time he was sent. Amen? But he was sent. So we know in the same manner, we're not going to move into the womb of Mary. So we know that's not the sending he was talking about. He says, so Father, as you sent me, I send them. So watch this. How did the Father send him? He that sent me is what? With me. The Father has not left me alone. Why is that important to you? Because Jesus says, as you have sent me, Father, I'm going to send them. What's that mean? When we send them from this position they're going to dwell in, which we'll get in tonight, when we send them, we go with them. Amen? We're coming into an hour. We're moving past a regulated anointing, which is a glorious thing. I'm not against regulated anointing. We wouldn't have any ministry. We didn't. But we're moving past the regulated anointing into the fullness. Paul saw this day. He saw it. He said, let us go on into perfection. He said, let us go on into perfection. God's going to bring his people into perfection of the love of the Father in this hour. Amen. The early church was building the foundation. The apostles found this, but an entire global community, bridal company of believers is going to find this realm. Amen. It's not just going to be for the apostles. It's going to be for everybody. Amen. Send us, Father. Go with me, Father. He said, I'm not alone. Now look at this. I love John 10. Love it. No, this is what got him in trouble. When he said this, they come out. There's certain things you're going to say. It's not going to provoke anything. And there's certain things you're going to say. And it'll provoke everything. He provoked every religious spirit there was within a 50-mile radius when he said this. John 10, verse 3, he said, I and my Father are one. Boom! Man, it was on. They were furious at him. So in response to that, verse 36, this is powerful stuff right here. John 10, 36. Chuck brought this out. This is powerful. Say you of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world. Not only are you being set apart, he was set apart to his Father. Sanctified was set apart. He said, you take these words, they're going to set you apart to the Father, and then the Father's going to send you and go with you. He goes, this is exactly what happened to him. Say of him, the Father set me apart. The Father set the Lord Jesus apart. He was set apart from the day he was born, being set apart unto his Father, being set apart unto his Father, being set apart unto his Father's love. And then he got sent by the Father, and the Father went with him. That same process that happened to him, you have to understand, if you want to understand the book of John, it was a prototype book for every single New Testament believer that has a 100-fold compass. That book has that compass. Now, understand being set apart. He's not talking about, well, he's going to set me apart to ministry. No, he was set apart to the Father where the Father was. That's a different understanding. A lot of people, yes, set me apart, Father. When he set him apart, he took him out of the jurisdiction of this world and brought him before the Father, and he dwelt with the Father. Then the Father sent him. Amen? He says, you say this, thou blasphemous, because I said I'm the Son of God. If I do not the works of God, don't believe that I, what I said to you. What did he say to him? What did he say? He said, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do the works of my Father. Though you don't believe me, believe the works. What was he asking them to believe? He was asking them to believe that he was one with his Father. He was asking them to believe that I am not coming in my name. I'm coming in my Father's name. It's my Father that sent me. It's my Father that gave me the doctrine. It's my Father that gave me the power. It's my Father to do these works. And if you don't believe my words, believe these works, because no man's doing these kind of works. Believe what I'm saying to you. What's he saying to them? But if I do, though you don't believe me, believe the works. Though you may know that you may say that you may know. And believe. And here's what he wants you to believe. Ready? Read it. That the Father is in me, in this earthly jurisdiction, and I in him in a heavenly jurisdiction. I dwell with him in the heavenly jurisdiction, and he's dwelling with me in this earthly jurisdiction. And these signs are here to demonstrate that I've been sent from him, and it's him with me that's speaking to you. These are his words to your generation. When God has a message, he's not going to take that message without power. When God does something new, he's not going to send his words. He's going to back it. He's going to be present with it. When God sends a messenger, he's going to be present with that message. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is going to establish him. And I don't care how many devils come out to stop it. It cannot be stopped. It will not be stopped. The only thing that will stop is your own heart. The only thing that can stop it is your own heart. And when you have the Father's love, you can overcome anything. You will not fail. We will not fail. Glory be to God. Isn't that glorious? John 14, verse 8. Philip said unto him, here he's going to do this again. Same thing happened to John 10. Show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Well, Jesus said unto him, have I, the Father said unto him, have I, this is the Father speaking, by the way, one of the few times you'll see the Father directly speaking. Have I been so a long time with you, Philip, and you have not known me? That was the Father that spoke right out of the Lord. I've been with you the whole time for 3.5 years, and you're just asking to show the Father? Who do you think you've been looking at? Who you've been thinking? Who do you think you've been hearing from? Who do you think this doctrine's coming from? Who do you think these miracles are coming from? Everything you've seen and heard in the Lord Jesus has come from me. And you're saying, I've been with you, Philip. And you're asking to show us. The Father marveled at that, and the Lord marveled. He has seen me, seen the Father. Then the Lord said, how do you say, show me the Father? Now watch this, verse 10. Here it is again. Believest thou not that I, when he says, I'm in the Father, you can say dwell, because he's going to say dwell. That I dwell in the Father. Now listen to this very carefully. Watch, he's going to go back and forth with this throughout the rest of John, through John, all the way through John 17. Do you not believe that I dwell in my Father? That's heavenly jurisdiction. See that? Do you not believe that I'm with him where he is, and he's with me where I am? I'm with him in the heavenly jurisdiction, but he's here with me in this earthly jurisdiction. That I am in the Father in the heavenly jurisdiction, but the Father's in me here. The words that I speak to you, I speak not of myself. It's my Father that dwelleth in me, and he doeth the works. Earthly jurisdiction. When it says the Father's dwelling in me, he's here doing the works. That's the Father in the earthly jurisdiction. He's going to go back and forth with it. When do you get to the oneness? Verse 11, believe me that I dwell in the Father, heavenly jurisdiction. The Father dwells in me, earthly jurisdiction. Why is that? He keeps asking him, believe this. Why? Why did he keep it? He asked in John 10. He said, if you don't believe I'm saying, I'm asking you to believe this. If you cannot even do what I'm asking you to do, I'll give you miracles to prove what I'm saying. Why was it important to the Lord? Why was it important to the Father for you to believe that? What difference did it make? Whether you knew he dwelt with his Father, his Father dwelt with him. Why was that important? Every time the Lord asked to believe upon him in John 17, it was this thing he was asking to believe. Can you not believe this oneness? Because if you can believe this, now listen to me. If you can believe this oneness, you'll understand the very heart of my mission. The very heart of my mission is to bring you into it. The very heart of my mission is for salvation, reconciliation to the Father through oneness, and restoration of the Father with man in the earth. That's exactly what he's talking about. Isn't that glorious? Okay, he says it again, verse 20. At that day, say at that day. Now, by the way, I use all of these verses when I make entrance to the Father. These are the very ones I use. Instead of saying at that day, I say I'm in the day that I know. I intimately know, Lord, that I dwell in you where you are. See it? At that day, you will know that I, the Lord Jesus, dwells in my Father where he is, and you in me. Verse 20, at that day. Say, at that day. Say, I'm in that day. This is already happening. We're in the day. You shall know. Say, I know. I know. What does he want you to know? He first wants you to know that he dwells in the Father, where the Father is in a heavenly jurisdiction. At that, because what he says, in a little while, what he said in the verse before, in a little while, I'm going away. Right? The world won't see me, but you're going to see me because I'm going to my Father. And in that day, you're going to know that I dwell in my Father. Why? Because you're going to be right there with me in the heavenly jurisdiction. And then when he says, and then I and you, he always throws that back at you. Why? Because once you dwell with me where I am, we're coming to dwell with you where you are. See it? Say, I'm in that day. You've been given access to this, and all of this is a grace. It's just like salvation. You got to understand it's a grace to dwell with the Father. The Lord purchased that grace for you because you're not going to the Father in your old man. You're going up in through him. The Father doesn't see your stuff the way you see it. Oh, the day you get that revelation, you can drag 50 years of baggage right into the Father's love. He don't see it. He sees you in Christ, and once you're there, he'll start the perfection process. Verse 23, heavenly jurisdiction, earthly jurisdiction. Both of these realms are yours. You're not going to get God to dwell in the earthly jurisdiction until you dwell with him where he is. That's the way he set it up. Amen? He'll visit you, but we're not talking about visitation, are we? We're talking about habitation. We're moving from visitation to habitation. John 14, 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if a man loves me, you know what verse 24 says? He that keepeth not my sayings, he doesn't love me. And this I have heard from my Father. It's not your definition of whether you love him or not. It's his definition. Amen. Everybody believes they love God. But it's God's definition. You want to know God's definition? Do you want to know what's going to get you through the veil? That's right here. Moses knew it. David knew it. Solomon knew it. They understood the power of keeping the word. Ready for this? He says, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. The next verse says, and he that keepeth not my words loveth me not. We're not talking about salvation here. You got to understand how to read the Bible. Listen, there are people all day long that will get saved and is going to get fire insurance, whether they ever keep the word or not. They can read the word. They can do a 5-minute quiet time once a month for the rest of their life, and they will get on into heaven. This is not your prerequisite to get to heaven. It's a prerequisite to dwell in heavenly places. Amen? So read it that way, then you won't get in condemnation. He said, if a man love me, everyone say, I love him. Because if you love him, according to him, you're going to do what he asked you to do. And what is he asking you to do? Do you know that he summed it all up in Deuteronomy? He says, what's the greatest commandment? He goes, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. Love one another as yourself and keep these sayings of mine. Set them in your heart. Set them in your mouth. put them in the palms of your hands. Write them on your doorpost. Don't let them go. Do you know how many times he said keep the word in the book of Deuteronomy? 41 times. Told him to keep it. Cleave to the Lord. Keep to the word. Cleave to him. He said this is the whole responsibility of man. And if you think this is easy, the second you start doing this, it is going to provoke a war against you because it's going to deliver you to a place that the enemy has no authority over you at all. And the enemy knows that. And he's going to try to keep you from the Father's love. He's going to try to keep you here because he don't want you going there. And these words right here are going to get you there. Amen. See, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. Isn't it amazing that when he was even preaching throughout the Gospels, that when he preached on the 30, 60, 100-fold anointing, he said there's four things that's going to deliver you to a 100-fold anointing. You're going to hear the word. You're going to receive the word. You're going to understand the word. And you're going to keep the word. And when you put all four of those together, when he talked about the 100-fold, he says one time he said he'll hear the word and understand it. He'll hear the word and receive it, hear the word and understand it, and hear the word and keep it. And he'll bring forth 30, 60, 100-fold fruit. Here it is. He's going to give you the mystery of why you're going to bring forth 30, 60. Because these words, if you keep them, now, what does that mean? You're going to have to store them in your heart. You're going to not hear. The words in your mind are not going to deliver you into the heavenly places. It's the word in your heart that gets in your mouth. That gets in the frontlets of not these natural eyes, but the spiritual eyes. They create a spiritual compass for you. In heart, mouth, spiritual eyes, you bind them to the frontlets of your spiritual eyes. You keep them in your heart. You set them in your mouth, and you move in faith. They'll take you to the Father. Those words will take you straight into the Father. Isn't that glorious? When I have trouble getting in, I go right back to, like I said, I am a man that keeps the word. I'll anchor everything right into here. And my mind will start drifting. I anchor it back. My mind drifts like your mind. You got to anchor it back until that shift comes. When that shift comes, you go right through the veil. When you get to the veil, he said, if a man keeps my words, my Father will love him heavenly jurisdiction. I will bring you to where the Father is. He'll love you. Oh my. There's no words to describe that place. Don't stop for the presence of God because you'll miss the love of God. A lot of people mistake the presence of the Father, the outer perimeter presence, they mistake that for being in the love. As John said, if you dwell in the love, this will be the result. You'll walk in light. You cannot walk in hatred. I don't care what people do to you. You cannot come out of the Father hating anybody. And they could rip you up one side and down the other, and you still will come out of the love of the Father, loving them. It's the most amazing thing. And there is no hatred. You're washing their feet in the Father, and you're loving and weeping over people that just don't like you. Those kind of responses are not designed to come out of your flesh. I don't care how lovely a person you are. You're going to encounter a spiritual force sometime in your life that's going to go beyond your ability to love. You're going to need the Father's love to love them with. And don't try to do it with your love, and you're going to fail. And even if you've been just steam in that air, you're still going to encounter something. Somebody going to do something to you that's going to get beyond yourself. But then when you get in the Father's love, it goes beyond that. Amen? The Father's love will override everything in the earth. That's how you know. Amen? And our Father will love him. Come in. Now, this is important. We'll make our abode, say abode, earthly jurisdiction. Say earthly jurisdiction. Now, listen, he says the exact same thing. I want you to go to the second page, John 17:22. He's going to say the exact same thing. Now, watch this. John 17:22. And the glory, Father, you've given me, I've given them that they may be one as we are one. I in them, thou in me. See that? Okay, let's start John 17, verse 20. Let me tell you what he's not talking about when he speaks of oneness here. He is not talking about you and I being one with one another in the earth in unity. Now, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell in the unit, that is a pleasant thing. But that's not what he's speaking about here. He is not talking about your relationship to one another in these verses. So when he says, Father, make us one as you're one, and they've sing the songs, make us one, he's not talking about that. And if you read it like that, you're going to miss the glory of it. Amen? There are other verses that talk about our unity, but that's not talking about your relationship with one another. All right? He is following everything he's been saying all the way through. He's not changing the subject. These are two incredible mysteries. Both of these have been freely given to you. You cannot work for them. You cannot earn it. There's nothing you can do to deserve. It can only be accessed by faith. Amen? It's just like salvation. Had to access salvation by faith, not works. You're going to access oneness by faith, not works. Amen? The Father's not going to allow you to access it through works. All right. With that said, are you ready? I broke John 17, 20 through 23 in one, and I broke out John 17, 24 through 26 in a second one. Both of them are going to repeat themselves. He's going to say the exact same thing twice. And he's praying it, by the way. He's not saying he's praying. This is a prayer, but he prays it twice to establish it. He's going to say it twice. Amen? He's going to pray it. He's praying this. The Father is answering this prayer in the 20th century. Verse 20, neither pray I for these alone. So who's he praying? For them that shall believe upon me through the word. Say that's me. So what's he going to say? Verse 21. Here's his prayer now, that all these may be one. See, all these 11 here may be one. He's not talking about their individual unity with one another. That is not the oneness he's praying here. Why? Because he's going to describe that in he's going to go on and say and pray what he was praying. As thou, Father, and here's what he means by the one. He's going to say, now there's 11 of them in here, but he's not talking about their unity. He's going to explain this oneness. He's praying for them to be one. Now watch what he's praying though. As you, Father, dwell in me and I'm in you, that they may also be one in us. Do you see it? He said, they all may be one, Father. And now he's going to describe the oneness. As Father is, you dwell in me and I'm in you. That oneness he's been talking about throughout the book of John. This oneness that you and I have, the one he kept asking you to believe. Now he's getting you in on it. Now, Father, as I dwell in you and you dwell in me. Now, notice how he says that they may be one in us. That you will come up to be one with them. In us where we are, in a heavenly jurisdiction. You see it? He's inviting you up to a place that not even the archangels have access to. No angel in heaven is one with God. But you are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and you begin a royal position of oneness. The Lord has shared his throne with you. The Lord has shared his position with you. He's made you a joint heir with him to dwell in the great Father's love. And he's given you access through a thing he calls oneness. And he prayed that you would have it. That the world may know and believe you've sent me. They'll understand my mission, God. They'll understand my mission, Father. They're going to know. My mission was to restore and reconcile man to your love. The world's going to know it, Father, because I'm going to bring them to you, and you're going to love them the way you love me. I'm going to bring them out of the world. I'm going to translate them out of darkness through salvation. Then I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. He's going to give them these words just like he did us. He's going to march them up in here, and then I'm going to receive them, and I'm going to present them to you, Father. I'm going to teach them jurisdictional transfer. My Holy Spirit's going to teach you how to come, how to transfer, ekkermeia. That's what we've been learning here. Amen. Now, that was all about getting you to where they are. So what's next? Them getting to where you are. Verse 22. And the glory which you gave me to be one with you, I've given them. Here's the second part. That they may be one in us, even as we are one. Now, they shouldn't have had a verse 23 here. It's one continuous thought. So let's read 22 and 23 in one continuous thought. Watch this. And the glory you gave me. Now, understand, he's not, look at me for a minute. We're going to get there. Look at me. We're not talking about a glory cloud here. We're not talking about the Shekinah glory that was on Solomon's temple on the Lord. That's not what he's talking about. Not here. He said, this glory you gave me, Father, as the firstborn to be one with you, I've given this to them. Didn't sell it to you. Gave it to you. He said, I've given it to them. That they may be one, Father, as we're one. And he's going to explain the oneness in verse 23. Now look at verse 23. Look at verse 23. What's he talking about? I in them, thou in me. I'm in them, Father, where they are, you're in me. That's exactly what he said. If a man will keep my word, my Father will love him, and then my Father and I will come what? Make our abode with you in earthly jurisdiction. You see that? We dwell with him in heavenly jurisdiction. They both dwell with us in earthly jurisdiction. This is a prayer that the Father would complete this process. And this generation, he's not going to just complete it with the apostles. He's going to complete it with the entire remnant bride. The remnant bride will hear these words. The remnant bride will know how to go up. And the remnant bride will have the Father, the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Ghost dwelling here with us in the earth. And when that happens, all men will know. For the love one to another, because we're going to walk in a love that's not of this world. Because he said that they may be made perfect in oneness. The oneness gets perfected as you dwell in him and they dwell in you. So all he does is just repeat the same thing. He says it again. He prays it right over again. Father, and then he said it, I will. His final prayer, his final will. I will. They also, whom you've given me, be with me where I am in you, Father. That they may behold my glory that I have with you, for you've loved me from the foundations of the world, and I'm going to bring them into this love, Father. I'm going to bring them in. I'm going to bring them up, and I'm going to bring them in. I'm going to go get them, Father. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to give my life for them. And then I'm going to go send my Holy Spirit, and I'm going to go get them. And I'm going to bring them up here, Father, and restore them to love. To what Adam lost, I'm going to restore them all to you. And then, Father, after that, you and I are going to go dwell with them. The fullness of redemption will be completed. Father dwelling with Adam again in the earth. And Adam having dominion in the earth. He's going to complete the picture of restoration. Wasn't his salvation. He had to get Adam back to the Father's love and the Father back to the earth dwelling with Adam in love, in the earth, operating in dominion. That's why I said these words have the power to do all this. Not only do they have the power to get you there, they have the power to bring the Father off his throne into the earth. And when these words bring the Father off his throne, because the only thing's going to do that is faith and what he gave us. The oneness he gave is the only thing going to get the Father off that throne and your faith in it. The only thing the Father's going to get off that throne is he's going to perfect you there, and he's going to come off that throne and dwell with man just like he did in the tabernacle of wilderness. And when the Father comes down, the mountains are going to shake. The Father wanted them to come. He said, invite them to the mountain. And they got close, and they were terribly afraid because they were meeting the Almighty God. But God's going to come in a different form. He's coming in love. And he's going to come in power and great grace. And the final display to human history before the tribulation hour is the glorious bride of Christ dwelling with her husband, Christ, and the Father there with us He's going to show the world the picture of redemption. He's going to show the world what Adam looked like when the Father was with Adam. That's going to happen. That powerful? But he said, he that loveth me will keep these words. And if you don't keep them, he goes, he that keepeth not my words, he loveth me not. I didn't say that. He said that. Look at verse 26. So he willed you be with him where he was in heavenly jurisdiction. I've declared unto them thy name, Father. I'll declare it again. The love wherewith you've loved me may be in them and I in them. Father, you will come and dwell with me in them in the earthly jurisdiction. Isn't that glorious? Now, because I've got you right where I want you, well, because he has you right where he wants you, I'm going to show you something powerful. Go to little John, 1 John 4:15. Now watch this. I mean, he lays it out right here. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is Son of God. What happens when you do that? What happens when you do that? You're born again. Is second you're born again, you've been given the oneness. The second you're born again, he says, God will now dwell in him and he in God. He has given you the positional oneness the second you're born again. That was a positional oneness. And then he says, and he, now why he'll say the exact same thing he's been saying. We know and believe the love that God has to us, for God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in the Father, heavenly jurisdiction, right? And the Father in him, earthly jurisdiction. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. And we've been in this lately, because as he is, what? Heavenly jurisdiction, so are we. Earth, as he is in love where he is, so will all that transfer to where we are. And he says it specifically. So are we in this world. As we are in him, so as he is where he is, so are we where we are. Talking about the transference of love coming down to where we are. Isn't that powerful? Before that happens, herein is our love made perfect. And here's how the, how it's going to happen. So we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Here's how it's happening, because there's no fear in love. Perfect love is going to cast out all the fear. He that feareth, hath torment, and he's not been made perfect in love. He's going to bring you up and cast out the systems of the world. The whole mystery of the gospel. Now we got to do is keep his word. If you love him, you will keep his words. Isn't that glorious? And those words are going to bring us to the Father. And they're ultimately going to bring the Father here.